Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Now, as our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures. Today we're going to read just two scriptures because one of the scriptures we already read it last week. So we are not going to repeat it. Exodus chapter 33, verse 9 to 15 is our first reading. Exodus 33. Is the media team ready? All right. Okay. It's there. Then let's read. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloud pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Let's continue. And all the people saw the cloud pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said, the Lord, see thou sayest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy own people. Grace. I thought grace was a New Testament thing. This is Moses. Let's continue. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Continue. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Are we there? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like us we are, yet without what? Sin. Last verse, we are all reading together. All of us, let's go together. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Let's take it again. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help, and find grace to help in time of what? Need. In time of what? Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we look into today's topic, which I guess you already know, protocols of personal prayer life, and I've already defined what protocol means to you in our previous message concerning the protocols of what? Corporate prayer life. So there's no need for me to go back in defining what the word protocol is. There are some few things that I want to put across to help us appreciate what we are doing with regards to the knowledge God is giving us in our pursuit of prayer. Now, the purpose of looking into protocols or definitions or certain standards and principles concerning prayer is not to limit or confine them to a set of rules and regulations. No, that's not what I'm trying to do over here. Are you following me? Are you here? But to give a better understanding of what the Bible teaches about them. So whatever we are doing are not set of rules, regulations that you have to abide by religiously. No, I don't want you to take it from that angle, but I want you to understand that these very principles or these things we are examining, these areas we are tackling, is to give us a better understanding of the standpoint of God from scriptures concerning these areas. So what is God's standpoint with personal prayer? What is God's standpoint on corporate prayer? So all these things we are doing is not to define or give rules. No, I'm not here to give what? Rules. Are you with me? Hello? Are you with me? Yes. So when we are equipped, this is the issue. When we have a better understanding of these things in God's perspective, we are able to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in dealings with regards to what? Prayer. When we are able to understand, so when we are equipped with this knowledge, we can easily cooperate fully with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit always works with the Word of God. So it is very important that anytime we want to engage the Holy Spirit, we have understanding of the Word upon which we are engaging Him. And we know that we cannot pray. We always pray. We engage the Spirit in everything we do. So all these things are to help us, guide us to understand how the Word of God can cohabit or work together with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God. So this is the reason why we are looking into all these things. So I hope we are all on the same page. So don't say that pastor is saying protocols, principles, it means that I'm giving laws, regulations. No, I'm not giving laws. I'm just giving a better understanding of the Bible's point with regards to what we are learning in terms of what? Prayer. Now, let's move into today's message. Okay. You know that personal prayer life, practicing personal prayer life, we found out three key broad areas that we benefit and why we should practice personal prayer life. Do you remember them? Number one, the principle of what growth, the growth model. You remember that? That it is out of personal prayer life that the believer's spiritual senses and systems are developed. So as you engage God daily in your personal time with Him, then you learn to hear Him, you learn to feel, you learn to know how things operate with the spiritual system that are in you. So anybody who does not make practice of personal prayer life, such a person cannot. That is the truth. You cannot develop your senses. Are you there? Are you there? Number two, we find that it is also a life-sustaining model. A life-sustaining model in the sense that we need to personally come to God on a daily basis. That is what Jesus taught in the model of prayer. It was a personal prayer life. He said, give us this day our heart daily bread. We find out from the book of Psalms that God always bestow on us daily heart benefits. Why? Because there's sufficiency of evil for every day. So anytime you come to God to pray, anytime we are before God, anytime we practice personal life, prayer life, what we are doing is that we are outsourcing life-sustaining model. And life-sustaining model or life-sustaining systems comes with what? Preservation. Do you remember? Comes with protection. Comes with what? Provision. Preservation. Protection. Provision. The three P's. Are we there? Finally, when we practice personal prayer life, what happens is that we are able to learn the habit of what? Secrecy. We are able to what? Practice the habit of what? Secrecy. Do you remember what we did last week? And we saw the benefit or we saw the dimensions of God's operation when it comes to what? Secret what? Life or having a secret time with God. Hallelujah. So now, because of all these things, we have to find out what are the protocols. How can we be very effective? What are the things that we can do to be very effective and efficient in our daily practice of prayer? Personal prayer life. Are we there? Are we there? So number one, there are three C's we are going to look at. Three C's. And the first C we are going to look at is, for us to be very efficient and do well or benefit well from personal prayer life, we must always come alone. Tell your friend, come alone. The principle of come alone or the protocol of come alone is the principle of total isolation to be with God. The word is total isolation to be with God. Genesis chapter 33, verse 22 to 28. Let's read. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. Genesis 32, verse 22. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Continue. And he took them and sent them over to the brook and sent them over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Jacob was what? Left alone. Do you know why Jacob did this thing? When he got to Bethel, the place he had his first encounter with God. When he got there, you know that when this is my place of secrecy. This is my place that this is my point of contact with God. And what I'm about to do, I need to be totally what? Alone. Do you know what it takes to part way with your children and your wife? If you ask the married men here, they'll tell you it is not easy to concentrate when you are not in the house, knowing what is going on with your children and with your wife. But at this point, Jacob parted way with them. In fact, the Bible said he made them cross over. So before they can come back, they have to cross. He separated himself from them. Now let's read. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him unto the breaking of the day. If you continue, you find out that the blessing, the secrecy, remember what we talked about last time, that it is only the secret place that God is able to unlock or tell you certain things that are very personal about you, you never see in public. Do you know, it was in the secret engagement that Jacob got to know that actually his identity in heaven was not Jacob. It was Israel. He was alone. The principle of total isolation to be with God. Now, in our first reading that we had, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 9 to 11, you will find out that it was the practice of the priesthood or the priest to always go to the Holy of Holies alone. It was the practice. No, there's never any record in scriptures that the priests were two at the Holy of Holies. It was only one priest. And the Bible said, when Moses entered, the cloud what came and covered. And the Bible said, and the Lord spoke to Moses. It was in that place that Moses was making a petition, a demand for an encounter of what? Grace. It was in that isolation. The Bible said that Joshua was at the tent, the entrance, but Moses was alone. I thought that Moses entered that place to deal with matters concerning the people of Israel. No, no, it was not so. Moses entered there. Let's go to that place. Exodus chapter 33, where we read. Verse 9. Let's move there. Check what Moses did. He entered the tabernacle. The cloud came over him. I was thinking that because he was representing and leading the people of Israel, it was going to be a negotiation. Let's see what the man said. Go to verse 10. Move on. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That is what? One-on-one. Personal prayer time. As a man speaketh unto his what? Friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of what? The tabernacle. So Joshua was at the entrance of the tabernacle. Move on to the next verse. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou say unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13. Now look at what I said. Now therefore, I pray thee. Now look at his prayer request. Are you with me? If I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way. It was in the place of isolation that Moses was demanding the way of the Lord. In the book of Psalms, the Lord said, unto Moses, he showed him the way. But unto the children of Israel, his act. If you don't practice, if you don't come alone, there are certain things you will never encounter. So if you really, really, see, this was a very deep thing. Show me thy way, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and that consider that this nation is thy people. They said that if your presence goeth not with me, come alone. It was their practice that they go to God alone. And in that place, so when you are with God alone, it is at that place that certain deep things are transacted. So if you want to be effective and efficient, benefit from personal prayer life, you must always practice it in isolation. Because God loves to be one-on-one with you. You know that it was the common practice of Jesus on earth. In our previous studies, we find out that he always goes to a solitary place and pray all night. Hello? It was in the book of John chapter 17 we find some of the prayer topics that he prays. So, come alone is a requirement, is a principle we must observe in personal prayer life. It is in that place that we are able to hit certain dimensions with God. What God told Moses, Joshua didn't hear it. The people of Israel didn't know. I pray for you that when you are isolated alone with God, some of us, when we are alone, I'll come there. I'll get there. You can't be effective and efficient in practicing personal prayer life when you ignore absolute focus and complete attention for God. You cannot be effective. Come alone means make sure that you are mentally and physically prepared to fellowship with God. This is where the issue is. When I'm talking about come alone, I am not only talking about physically separating yourself from people. But I tell you, a lot of us go to personal prayer time with God and we are not alone. We are not physically prepared to meet God. We are not mentally prepared. Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me? It will not make that moment, that quality time with God, effective and efficient. Is it the full benefit? You see, I spoke about fully cooperating with the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can do what He wants to do. The full benefit of that practice, being it personal prayer time, to fully benefit from it, you must come physically and mentally prepared. You have to come. That is the isolation I'm talking about. Leave things behind. Come there. You alone. You and God. So, you cannot be effective and efficient in personal prayer time when at that moment you are responding to WhatsApp chats. We have a lot to deal with as this generation. I know this temptation, I'm not the only one. We are all suffering. When you woke up, the first thing that crossed your mind is your phone. And you find out that now phones are now competing with God in terms of our attention. Let me be realistic with you. If I'm having my quiet time, I don't use this one. I use this one. This one, there's no data. There's no anything on this one that will distract me. It is only my Bible and my books that are here. And I intentionally did that. Why? Because if you are with the phone, the temptation to turn on the data, you're not alone. There's a company over there. And because there's another company, you will not get the full benefit of what you are doing. So the isolation we are talking about here is that when you are coming, you must make sure that the reason why our forefathers, or let me say the generation who didn't know much about technology, were much on fire was because there was nothing interrupting their time with God. They didn't even have their phones to have Bibles on it. They had only hard copy Bible. So when they enter their place, they are closer to pray. It is the Bible, them, and God. Our generation. Are you with me? Don't be deceived. Don't take your prayer time with God like just any ordinary thing. No. You will go and waste your time over there. You will not benefit. Number two. It is not at that time that you are going to be busy answering phone calls. Irrespective of how urgent that matter is. Place premium on the time you are spending with God. If you really want to benefit from it fully. You know, the devil can rearrange things. So That, sometimes when you know in that very busy moment with God, that's when some call you, you like you are not expecting, like some serious call will come. As I said, coming alone means that coming physically and mentally what? Prepared. That's not the point of answering calls. That's not the point of number three. There are a lot of things. One of the things that I've also noticed about isolation that affect our isolation is when we come before God, that is when we start thinking about the things we will do or the things we have to do or the things we have not done. Do I have a witness in the house? They'll mention, say, Father, thank you. Then you remember, they'll turn off the light and the iron. Especially when you're in school. That's when you are going to remember that there is an assignment I didn't finish. Do you know, the devil will bring to remembrance anything that can distract you. You must come mentally prepared, blocking your mind from all those distractions. What I mean is that when you enter, then make sure that you shut the door. That's what he said. He said, shut out the door. When you say the door, shut both the door of your mind and everything. Shut it! And be in the secret place alone with your Father. It is out of that you will find that personal prayer life is beneficial. Are you with me? So, come alone means total isolation. And the isolation is only taking... some people can... I've been seeing this and I laugh. I told you that one of the ways of practicing personal prayer life is having retreats. I see people go on mountains and say they are praying and they are on phone and then they are... My brother, my sister, it is better you stay home. It will help you. It will help you. It's better you stay home. The quality of what you are doing, you will not get it. And when you finish, there's a message I recommend for if you want to go and go for a retreat. By Daddy Joe. I recommend that message for you. It was after that I found out that it takes Daddy Joe 1 whole week to prepare for a retreat. The message you listen to at the retreat, the books you read, he set them up. See, this thing about Christian life, he said, your personal prayer time will make you grow, all this things. It is a work you have to learn to do. That's why when you are born again, they teach you how to pray. You have to learn it. You have to be intentional about it. Else, you waste your energy. You know, people have been doing this religiously for years and still their life is the same. And they think it doesn't work. No, you are breaking rules. It will not work for you. The Bible says, for the way of the transgressor is very hard. So you can't break the rules and expect that it will not work. It's not like God doesn't want you. You are before God and you are praying and then you remember. Yes, you have to shut the door. Tell your friend, shut the door. Tell your brother, shut the door. Tell your sister, shut the door. Not only physical door, shut every door. It is not that place that you are going to worry. So you have to come alone, you and God. What I'm talking about is not easy. We are all fighting it. That is why I do my personal prayer time midnight. Midnight. That's why I'm able to share. You have to know what works for you. Are you with me? Know what works for you. The time within the day that you can benefit. If it is 10 minutes, that you can do it well, do it. Midnight, it works for me perfectly. When everybody's asleep, the whole place is quiet. At that time, nobody will call you. Nobody's going to send you a WhatsApp message. It is a time that, most of the time, that is the time even I charge my phone because it's battery low. So I can turn it off. I can turn my data off. And you see that it works so good. You come there and then it is you and God alone. Then you know that God can talk. The Bible said that God was speaking with Moses face to face like a man speaking to the friend. Do you understand that? When I meet Elder Prince, when I meet Elder Martin and we are talking, then you know what, you understand what I'm talking about here. There's no any form of protocol. That is, oh, Charlie, what's up? We are good to go. You see, it is not that place that when I meet them, sometimes when you meet them, you forget your worries. Have you met those kind of friends before? They take away your worries. Because one word they'll say, you forget that. Sometimes you forget who you are. You can do things in public and remember that. There are those kind of friends who can. The Bible said Moses and God were flowing that dimension like a friend talking to a friend. No interruption. Are you with me? Okay. We are still on what? Calm alone. Then last thing I want to let you know is that, so I've told you that not isolation, total isolation. So you come physically and mentally what? Prepared. Is that not it? Okay. All right. The second one is only two things I'll say over there. Treat that time with God with uttermost respect and value. Says that nothing is worth to exchange with that moment you have with God alone. If you are coming alone, one of the things you have to do is that treat that moment with, see, put premium on it. There are certain religious groups, there's a particular hour of time they pray. Even if you bring the whole world's money to them, at that time, they will not take it. They will go and pray. They will close their business and go. Certain religions. But we Christians, one of the things that you have to put premium on, in fact, let me be realistic with you. The most important thing to put premium on is your one-on-one with God. Come alone. That time, you should put so premium on it that, see, do you know something? The way you treat that time, that's how God also treats you. I've noticed it. If you are very serious with God, you'll find out that if it is 11 p.m. that you meet God, the moment it is 11 p.m., you'll be there. The day you forget, he'll come and wake you up. People don't know. Like, these are realities. I've experienced these things before. Way back up our messages that we used to pray those late nights. Sometimes we can be tired and you sleep. Then in the cubicle, I'll hear a knock. Bang, 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 bang. Then you wake up. When you check the time, they'll not come and call you. These guys, they'll not call you. They'll not come and call you. Then I'll wake up, then I'll notice it is the exact time that we go to pray. How many of you have a time period that you pray that when, no matter how tired you are, when you sleep, at that time you wake up? How many of you have experienced that? Yes. It's because of the premium you place on God. God respects it a lot. Why? The Bible says in the cool of the day, God came to fellowship with them. God does not joke with fellowship with man. So you must put premium on it. Don't let anybody call you at this time. Oh, no, no, no. See, that time is your life sustaining time. Nothing comes between it. If you do that, you'll find out that it is a very efficient and effective tool in your life. Many people think that when you come to church, you pray 10 hours, 20 hours, that is how things work for you. No, no, no. The quality time you spend with God is very important. So place premium on it. Hallelujah. Amen. Second thing, which I'm going to stay here to talk a lot about, the second C is come daily. Come daily is the principle of consistency. Most of you don't know why it is very essential to pray every day. Today I'm going to show you. Last time I told you that God prefers a man who is 10 minutes consistent with him every day than the one who is 10 hours once a week or once a month. God prefers the one who does 10 minutes every day to the one who will come to him once every week and spend 10 hours with him. God doesn't like that. I'm going to tell you why. Because, number one, God designed man to seek him on a daily basis as a principle of absolute dependency on him. Take this. God created man to have three kinds of relationship. The first relationship is this: the relationship of dependency on God. The second relationship is interdependency on each other. And the third relationship, independence from the devil. In fulfilling the aspect of relationship with God, which is total dependency on Him, God tied it to daily prayers. So in the book of Deuteronomy, let's read chapter 8, verse 16. Let's see what He said to them. Serious. Anytime you wake up a day and you don't go to your personal place of prayer to pray, what you are telling God that I don't depend on you anymore. Who fed thee in the wilderness with what? Manna. Now look at why. Do you know why God fed them with manna? Hey. See, God has a way of doing things, though. The manna God fed them was because of something. The principle of dependency. That's why God took them to the desert. To teach them how to depend on Him. Because in Egypt, they had everything. They had everything. They didn't know God. They heard about the God of their forefathers, but they didn't know God. If they knew Him, they would not have started complaining when they had a little odd challenge. Even after all the miracles God did, taking them from Egypt, when they got on the desert, a little thing, they started complaining. If we were in what? Egypt. So in Egypt, they lived a life where they didn't know, they didn't need God to do anything. In quotes, that is the world. They were living on the principles of the world. No, Egypt stands for the world. So they were living on the principles of the world. So even though God took them out of the world, within a 10 days or 11 days miracle, He took God 40 years to take the world out of them, Egypt. And one of the ways God took Egypt out of them is to teach them the principle of absolute dependency on Him and total acknowledgement of Him. Now, and one of the ways He did it was manna. Look at how He said to Him. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not? Do you see it? That He might humble thee. Can I read the Amplified Version? I like what the Amplified Version said. Do you have the Amplified Version? Let's read the Amplified Version. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. Elder Prince, do you have it? Get him a microphone and help him too.
Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16 from the Amplified Version.
Listen.
He fed you manna in the wilderness.
Okay.
A substance which your father did not know.
So there was a substance that your fathers were not accustomed to. There was a way of life in the world they were not accustomed to. And that was that they were living on the systems of the world, surviving on the things of the world. They were living on the delicacies of Egypt, the cucumbers and all these things. So God decided to take them out of it. Now continue.
So that He might humble you by dependence on Him.
That He might what? Humble you by depending on what? On Him. Continue.
And that He might test you to do good things for you at the end.
That He might test you. Oh, Jesus. How was the prince at the rule of manna? Every day you get up and go and what? Give us this day our daily bread. Manna was collected on a daily basis. And the reason why God did that was to what? Humble them to depend on Him. Anytime you wake up a day and you don't pray, you are telling God that, God, as per the rules you have set, that as man on this earth, I am dependent on you, interdependent on each other, and independent from the devil. As for that one, I flood that room. That is why it's a protocol. You wake up and you go for God to feed you. You go and seek Him. That's why it's a life-sustaining model. You can never continue in the life of God when you don't practice daily time with Him. It is a lie. You are not living on the life of God. Because what did you eat today? Yesterday, did you eat? You are hungry. Your spirit is starved. I'm going to show you something. Continue. Read. So I said, absolute what? Dependency on what? God. And total acknowledgement of our success coming from Him. Read. Continue.
the verse 17.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand had made this wealth.
That is how they were living in Egypt. Are you following? How they were living in Egypt is because they had the power to do things for themselves. And that is not how the things work in the kingdom. That is self-sufficiency out of the will of man. That is out of the flesh. God hates it. Self-righteousness. So God, you see, do you know that what the devil taught man was to total dependency from God? You can be God on your own. Are you following? So that was what the devil taught Adam. And that is what man has been doing. We don't need God. And God doesn't want that to be the reason or the life they'll live in Canaan. The promised land, the kingdom life. It is not possible. So before they enter the kingdom, he has to train them to know that in the kingdom, it is total dependency on what? You are the mercies of the king. That is why it is a crime. You are a criminal. In fact, you are the highest criminal. If you are an owner in this kingdom, we are all stewards. You are a criminal. You are a thief. Nobody owns anything in this kingdom. In Ashanti region, nobody owns land. All the lands belong to Otufo. You are just a steward. Otufo can take the land from you. In fact, the lands of Ghana here, where you are, you think the house it's leased onto you for 100 years. After 100 years, the government can, even if it's not after 100 years, the government can place demand on it. So that you don't say that the blessing you have, the breakthrough you had, it is by your strength. So God will teach you. So anybody who does not have the daily practice, you find out that that person can easily take the glory from themselves. So Jesus said, glorify thee, because I have what? Glorified you. I pray for you. You see, this is a protocol. If you want to have sustenance of life, living on the life of God is a daily thing. I have verse 18.
But you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, and that he may confirm his covenant with which he swore to your fathers.
Now you get it. Now God is telling them that what is coming out of you that you think it is, you don't have power. I am the one who is doing it. But there is a possibility that if you are not coming daily, you can think that it is you. The very day Adam thought that he can survive on himself was the day he lost it. I pray for you. You see, in this kingdom, we can't do the things of Egypt here. When you see, everybody came here with certain traits and behavior and characters in this kingdom. One of the ways to teach you how to live on God is to teach you how to pray daily. Yes. That's why you can put your certificate down. And that's why you don't put your trust in the arms of flesh. Do you know why today many people cannot go to God when they find difficulty? Because they have not learned to survive on him daily. And it is true because they have not had practice of daily time with him. So they don't know how to survive daily on him. So if their certificate is failing them, they lose hope. I pray for you that you will not put your trust in the arms of flesh, for they will fail you in the day. The Bible said, though horses and chariots are prepared for battle, but victory is only guaranteed from the Lord. And how do we get a victory? Because daily we count on his mercies. So David said, even though my enemies are seeking after my life, Psalm 3 verse 3, thou art my shield and my glory and the one who lift up my head. I pray for you that as you make practice of any time you go to God, go with this mentality that today you are totally depending on him. You depend on him to feed you. You depend on him to deliver you. You depend on him to supply all your needs. And that is why it doesn't matter the state of the economy. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Because you know your place of source and your place of dependency. The Bible says, as the handmaiden looks unto the madam and count on the mercies of the madam to survive, so shall we look unto the Lord, and that we know that he will supply all our needs according to the riches of his glory. I wake up every morning to pray, not because I fear the devil, but I acknowledge that without God I'm a failure. Without God I cannot survive. And the 24 hour that is allocated for me that day, I count on the sure supply of God, for on that very day he shall load me with his benefit. So the Bible said the steadfast love of the Lord does not cease, and his mercy never comes to an end, but they are new every morning. I pray that the newness of God for every day shall be allocated to you in the name of Jesus. You will learn humility from daily prayers. God has a way of humbling you. Yes, you will learn humility. If you want to see a proud person, is a person who doesn't have daily time with God. You are proud. You are not humble. You are proud. So our daily coming to God is the acknowledgement that we need him to survive each day. We need him to survive each day that we get to live on this earth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And give us this day our daily bread. Manna was collected on a daily basis. The principle of dependency. If you don't know this, I'm telling you today that there are three forms of relationship God set in place for us in this world. The first one is a relationship of total dependency on him. The second one is the relationship of interdependency on each other. And the third is the relationship of independence from the devil. You have nothing, the devil can offer you nothing. You are independent from the devil. Learn it and you save. Another reason for we coming daily is this. The nourishment of the believer is a daily thing. Hence, a day without God means you have missed out on a particular diet that you may never get again and can affect your growth. When I came across this in Miyemoshemi, that the nourishment of the believer, do you know we are being nourished by the word of God? You know, it is in our daily practice of coming to God in prayer that we are nourished. And it means that if you don't come today, there's a particular diet that is set for you today. You will not get it again. I'll prove it to you. Go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 5. Watch. Nebuchadnezzar. And the king appointed them what? Read. Appointed them what? Oh, come on, help me, church. The king appointed them what? A daily what? Provision, daily basis. Of the king's what? Meat, and of the wine which he what? He drink. So nourishing them 3 years. So, do you know a whole king Nebuchadnezzar, out of his busy schedule, he set a time aside to make sure that he would daily give the food, the menu, or the food that the people he was raising will eat. These were not ordinary people. He was raising wise men, raising people who will reason with him, people who will be able to work with him, people who will give him counsel. And he knows that if I don't invest in them daily, do you know that God is counting? You're not an average person. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, he said, for you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. We are separated. We are not ordinary people. So because of that, God allocates unto us daily provision to feed us. It is in your day. So it means that for every day, there is a provision that is allocated to nourish you. You see, this was a time, 3 years, it was timed. Daily. Now I understand, you said, and give us this day our daily bread. I understand the prayer topic now. The food God will give you today is not the food he'll give you tomorrow. And the food he'll give you today is a contributing factor to your nourishment, your growth. So if you forsake today's food, it means that you have created, no wonder many people are sick and malnourished. No wonder. Because you come once a week. Imagine for skipping over 7 days food. Your spirit will be more nourished. And I'm going to tell you the effect it's going to have on you. Now, why did Nebuchadnezzar feed them on daily provisions? Can we read the same place? And that at the end thereof, are you following? At the end of the nourishment, what happens? They might stand before... Louder. They might stand before the what? Give me Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. What happens to a believer who is not daily fed, who does not have daily constant, what is the right word, crack? Constant consistency with God? Let me show you what happens. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Continue. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Louder. You may be able to stand. The daily victory of the believer over the devil is guaranteed on daily prayer. This is a statement Archbishop made. It took me some time to understand this statement. Daily prayer guarantees daily victory. I am here and I can confidently tell you that if you are not nourished daily, you can never stand. The ability to stand against the wiles of the enemy, against the principality powers, is not you praying 10 hours once every 3 months. It is the daily thing you do. The king fed them daily so that they can be able to stand before him. Do you understand the word stand? We stand before God. Do you understand what that means? We stand before God as kings, exercising dominion. When you say take a stand, means that protect your territory. Take a stand means protect, have dominion. So when I say I take a stand, it means that I am enforcing my rights, my privileges and authority over this area. He said the king fed them daily so that they can stand. So when you don't go before God on daily basis, you are saying that you are not ready to stand. Do you know why? If you're not serious with your daily life with God and the devil knocks at your door, you find yourself wanting. That is why you look for those charlatans and they'll teach you lessons. Because if you had daily contact with God, when the enemy comes like a flood, the standard has already been built in you. Am I sharing something with you? So, efficiency and effectiveness of daily prayer is that you have to come, of personal prayer life, is that you have to come what? Daily. That you are able to stand before the king. The believer stands before God. Said the angel of the Lord told the husband of Elizabeth, he said, I stand before the counsel of the Lord. I speak, you challenge me, I'll deal with you. I said, I'm the angel that, do you see the authority he's talking about? So to stand means that you are coming from a point of authority. The believer is not able to exert authority. Though powerful, we have the power of God residing in us. But because of authority, it looks like we are powerless. Why? Because we always keep the daily nourishment, which comes from what? Personal time with him. He fed them with manna on a daily basis to teach them how to stand. I pray for you. So now, don't let anybody tell you that, don't be in a hurry not to have a personal time with God on a daily basis. It is dangerous. It is. Can you give me a health name for? It is dangerous to your health. I want a health name. You are causing spiritual ulcer. You are calling for spiritual ulcer. God feeds you on a daily basis, and what he gives you today, he will not give that to you tomorrow. That's why the Bible says it is new every morning. I pray for you. These things we do, you come to church and they tell you, study the Bible. When you wake up, pray, study the Bible. It's not a joke. These are the reasons. And this is a protocol. So when you wake up every day, you come, you said, I should be able to stand today. I always tell you, the day you don't pray is the day you mess up a lot. Take note. You are very weak that day. You are very exposed. You don't have energy for the day. Were you fed? You don't have energy for the day. So this daily nourishment gives us the ability to maintain daily victory. Maintain what? We are not going to fight for victory. We already have the victory. Our job is to keep it. Take take a stand.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So the second C of the protocols of personal prayer life is that we come daily. The principle of what? Consistency. That's why I said if it is 10 minutes. Don't let anybody force you to do what. If God respects whatever he can give you, if it is 10 minutes, do it. Go, 10 minutes. You think God cannot do? Do you know what God can do in a split of a second? 10 minutes is enough. Oh? 10 minutes. Eh? Because in a split of a second, what God can do. But as time goes on, I will not be the one to tell you that you should increase the time. I will not be the one to tell you to practice it daily. You will find out that the 10 minutes will not be enough because of what you are gaining from it. So you are going to what? Extend the time. Are we there? Are we being blessed? Hallelujah. Now, for time factor, let's quickly move on to the third one. Come boldly. So I said three C's, right? The first one is what? Come alone. Come daily. Come boldly. Hebrews chapter 4. That we read. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. If you read verse 16, the Bible said, therefore, come out boldly before the throne room of what? Grace. That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of what? Need. One of the protocols that we must observe to be effective and efficient in our daily personal time with God is that we must come boldly. Now let me help you why the Bible made that statement. It is in the nature of every natural man to avoid God or coming before the presence of God. It is in the nature of every natural man. Do you know why? It is because of the principle of the nakedness that bringeth fear. Genesis chapter 3 verse 10. Let me help you with something. Every man naturally does not want to come before God. And the reason why every man does not want to come before God naturally is because of the principle of the nakedness that leads to fear. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was what? Afraid. What was the reason? Because I was what? Naked. When sin entered into man, it brought about the consciousness of a nakedness. And the consciousness of that nakedness is called the nakedness that leads to fear. There are two kinds of nakedness that the Bible speaks about in the first one is the nakedness that brings shame. If we read Genesis chapter 2, the Bible said the man and the woman were both naked and they were not what? Ashamed. When you are naked with somebody who is not your husband or your wife, it brings shame. But there's another nakedness in the Bible that brings what? Fear. And that was born on the day that Adam ate the fruit. When you are born again, the greatest barrier to overcome is this barrier called the nakedness that leads to fear. A feeling of unworthiness to approach God, especially when you fall into sin. One of the reasons why we find it difficult to practice daily prayer time with God is because of this thing. We feel that we have done something wrong. We feel that we are not wealthy. We feel like this. So that holds us up. And why should I even go? Do you know why? This principle of the nakedness that leads to fear. Do you know what it does? It sells lies to you. Lies about God to you. I'm going to give you four typical lies it sells to you. The reason why people run away from God, people are not bold to come before God, people are not able to come before the presence of God, because the principle of the nakedness of fear sell lies, big lies about God to you. Lies. And those lies, you will believe them, and because you believe those lies, you will not come. That is why we have to come boldly. If you don't learn to come to God boldly, you cannot do it. Hallelujah. Yes. It sells lies to you. And you become like, do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Eh? Do you know the two sons that the Bible spoke about over there? There was one who was the elder one who could not have the courage to ask the father for anything because he believed a particular lie. But the young one, he knew what, he was bold. And even after squandering everything, he gathered boldness. You see, the boldness which he took everything to leave was the same boldness that brought him back. I pray for you that you'll be like that prodigal son. Yes. He knew who his, he knew the truth about his father. The young man knew who the father was. That on the boldness that he went to him to take the things, it was the same boldness he stood upon to come back. The problem with many Christians is that we don't know who our father is, and we have accepted the lies that has come from the principle of the nakedness of fear. What are some of these lies? Lie number one. A lie that my heavenly father is harsh and too difficult to please. Do you know this is where self-righteousness comes from? What you think that you have to be very right before you stand before God? So, because yesterday he insulted somebody, what he did didn't please God, and God is a hard man. So, I have to sort myself out before I'll come. And because I've not been able to sort it out, you know, I grew up in a church where they tell you that, especially during communion, Elder Martin, do you remember? He's laughing. That's our church we came from. People don't come for communion for a whole year. It is communion we used to know, those who sin in church and those who don't sin in church. On that very faithful day of the month. Because your sister, why are you born here? Don't come and take communion. Because your father is a hard man. It's difficult to please him. So see, why didn't you come for communion? Oh, elder, yesterday I fought with my wife. You fought with your wife, so you don't eat the body of Christ. Where is your protection? So how do you sort that? How do you sort that out? Are you with me? So some people, the reason why people cannot come daily before God is because they believe that God is a hard man, difficult to please. That is a lie. It's a lie. Psalm 103 verse 13. Let me show you. That is a lie. It is the principle of nakedness of fear that will tell God is hard. Adam thought God was a hard man, so he was running away from him. God is difficult to please. No. Like as a father pitieth his children, Jesus, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That is a lie. Eradia humobro dosu. It doesn't matter what you have done. You must have it at the back of your mind that as long as your blood father can never reject you or cast you from his presence, no matter what you do, God will not do the same. So why can't you go and pray? Because you fornicated. If you go and you commit sin in town, is it not home that you come to? If you go and you have a fight in town, is it not the house you come to? Is it not your father you run to? Why can't you go to God? It's because of the lies you believe. So come bold, because your father will have pity on you. This is not an abuse. This is truth. If you learn this thing, you will find out that you will fix yourself easily. You see, it is not what you have done that is the issue. It is how you come to God to help you. Now, who will help you? Is it not God? Now, if you masturbate, is it not God who will help you to fix it? Can I help you? Can you help yourself? If you could help yourself, you would have helped yourself long ago. So, why are you running? That is a lie. So, people cannot come because of these lies they believe. Number two, the lie that my heavenly Father is too distant from me and he cannot possibly feel for me. You already got to heaven. Ufa plane cry. It may take you how many billions of years as we do the change. They said the sun is light years, right? There are galaxies that are light years from us. So how much more where God is? So people have been raised with that mentality that God, where God is, where God is different from where we are. So he doesn't feel the way we feel. It's a lie. It's a lie. That is why you think that problem you are going to, you can't go to God in secret and every day tell him, remind the Father this issue. Have you ever asked for school fees from your father before? How do you do it? Maybe you are not like me. Me, it was a daily reminder. I was a daily daily. Daddy, my fees. When I come, Daddy, they mentioned the school fees. But you don't think that your heavenly Father, you can go to him daily and remind him. It's a lie. That is why we read that book in the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read Hebrews 4. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you are being blessed. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. Listen to what the Bible says. Follow. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Do you hear what he said? So you are not distant from God. Every creature is in the sight of God. Now listen to what he said. But all things are hot. God knows that you are naked. Did you read it here? All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Move on. Seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast unto our profession. Now continue to say what he said. Very important. Verse 16. For we don't have a high priest which cannot bear or touch with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, I pray for you. You see, Jesus is the only person who can feel exactly what you are feeling in your body, the pain you are feeling. I cannot feel it. Jesus is the only person who can feel exactly the rejection you are feeling. I cannot feel it because he was rejected. Every infirmity we have, every weakness we have in our system, he felt the same thing because he carried them on the cross, the weight. So he's not like Aaron, who doesn't have a feel of what the people of Israel are going through. He was never any of those high priests. It's a big lie to think that God is so distant. That's why he can't come boldly. But he was in all point tempted like us we are. That's why when you go and fornicate and come to God, he thinks I don't understand what he's going through. I've also been on it. You know God was hungry. He was hungry that he sent the disciples to go to town and buy food. He understands the impact of hunger. That is why he was expecting to come every day so that he will give you something. But lies will let you think that's why I can come boldly. I pray for you that you'll be able to gather the boldness to approach God because God is not distant from you. You are naked. He sees everything. He sees you. Let's move on. How many lies have I given you? Two, right? Number three. The lie that my heavenly Father is too busy with more important things to be bothered with my issues. How many of you have ever felt that way before? Or have you been told that God is busy? As for you, your matter does not. Okay. Some people ask the Bible study saying that if I'm the only one who prays that God will hear, as for you, you have to bring your prayer point because we have protocol with God, and when we pray, God will. You people are second. Your matter is not important. When we talk, you ain't ready to hear. Who gave you that lie? We all have equal access. Equal access to the throne. The pastor, the church member, there is nobody great or small before the sight of God. We are all equal. Do you know that God is so interested in your life that even the hair on your head, he has counted it. Do you know the number of hair on your head? God has put a mark on each of them. This hair on your head, each of them is coded. If 1110 falls, God knows that it has fallen. That's how God takes your life so serious. But the principle of the nakedness that leads to fear will tell you that God is too busy to be mindful of your issue, even your hair. The last one. That our Heavenly Father is easily offended and quick-tempered. And this has been one of the strong reasons why people don't even come to church again. You know, people have prejudgment. When you listen to some of the messages that Ghana, most of the evangelists, they preach, if you don't take care, you never approach God. They'll let you know that God is quick-tempered. God will burn you alive. Like, they, you see, that kind of message keep people away from church. Keep people away from God. That is a lie. God is not easily angered. God is not quick-tempered. So the reason why many people cannot come to God boldly, have personal time with God, is because they are told that the man you are playing with, the cuckoo hand, he has anger issues. So if you don't know and you make a mistake, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Let's find out if God is quick tempered. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and not gracious, long suffering, abundant in goodness and in what? Do you hear long suffering over there? Do you see merciful over there? So God can bear up with everybody's total nonsense. I pray for you. If any of these lies have taken hold of your life, may God break you away from it in the name of Jesus. So we need, that is why when we finish about this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, I said, therefore come boldly before the throne room of grace, that you may find what? Can we go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16? Let me show you something about them. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do you know why the devil take away the boldness of the believer in approaching God? Because he knows what mercy and grace can do. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. The believer cannot live without mercy, without what? Grace. So the devil knows that, and these things are daily supply. And I've already told you what grace stands for. Grace stands for everything that Jesus has secured for us freely, that we can access freely. Everything. And the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 said, he has given us all things pertaining to life and what? Godliness. Everything. And the devil knows that if you have boldness, you will constantly live on the mercies of God. You constantly live on the grace of God. So what does he do? Take away that boldness, so that you will not have the, you will not receive the mercy for the day. I pray for you. May you be bold. May you be bold. How do you know that you are bold? Let me help you. You are bold when you are able to approach God on the basis of the finished work of Christ. but not your self-righteousness. The day that you come before God and said, I am here because Jesus said it is finished. He has paid the price. You see, if that is the mentality you go to God, that mentality, that I am here because of what Christ have done, that is the day you have started the journey of boldness. Not because of what. Never ever approach God because you think you have done something. That is a sign of fear. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. So you know you are bold when you approach God with the mentality. So this is a whole mind thing. You must allow the word of God to work on your mind to the point where you know that the life you live is not your life anymore. It is Christ that lives in you. So when you approach God, God has not seen you see Christ. It is in that confidence that you can walk every day to God, knowing that it is not you who have appeared, irrespective of your weaknesses, irrespective of your infirmities. You know that there is Christ that God sees in you. No matter how stubborn a child is, the father sees something good in him that no people don't see. So it is on this basis that Paul prayed a prayer in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. I'm wrapping up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Now let's read. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. So Paul was talking about, you see, there was nakedness of fear that came upon man. So it means that nakedness must be what? Covered. So there is a house, and house reserved to cover that nakedness. Can we continue? For in this we do what? We groan earnestly. So whenever we pray, this is not prayer by groaning. He said we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from what? Heaven. When that house from heaven is released upon you, that's what we call glory. That is why you know that you can approach God without any fear. Let's read. Verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found what? Naked. So this is how we solve the issue of boldness. When we groan in prayer and we demand that that house, we can rent it temporarily and use it on this and that, our nakedness can be covered. That is why we approach God with boldness. Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of what? Of life. I pray for you. May mortality be swallowed up by life. In the name of Jesus. Every time we encounter Christ, what is happening is that our mortality, our flesh, that's what the Bible said, walk in the spirit. What we are talking about here, what I'm trying to say over here, is that when you become a practitioner of the spirit life, and that you come to a point where that you walk so much in the spirit that your mind, your thinking pattern has shifted into the spirit, that the desires of the flesh, you can't gratify it anymore. Paul said we groan, that this tabernacle can be released on us, that we can be bold. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. So it was this thing that happened in the book of Acts chapter 4. When the disciples were threatened, they prayed a prayer that gave us what? Boldness. The boldness we were calling for was that this tabernacle, they could have access to it. And that when it comes upon them, anytime you notice that you are afraid to approach God, know that you have disconnected from that heaven, that life. That life you have disconnected. Anytime you find it difficult to come before God, that is where you begin to pray, that Lord, mercy. Have mercy. And that I can have access to that life. That immortality will swallow mortality. I pray for you. That as you live here, you make practice of meeting God on daily basis. You make practice of meeting God on daily basis. you will not let any lie take that kind of encounter from you. And that you will know that it takes a daily encounter with God to be nourished daily. Remember that, as I said, anytime you refuse to approach God on a daily basis, you are saying that, God, for today, I don't need you. And that I am capable enough to handle the affairs of my life. But the Bible says, by strength shall no man prevail. I pray for you that you will not count on the arms of flesh. You will know that even though I am a graduate, I have the certificate, I am competent enough, but I know that until God step into this matter, nothing shall be done. Though horses and chariots are prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. Can we rise to our feet? There's a prayer I want you to pray right now. That any lies that you have held on for all this while concerning who God is, that lies, that stronghold will be broken right now. We are pulling down that stronghold right now. I want you to lift up your voice and pray.
Just breathe the name upon me.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.